Good morning. Today's February 14th, Valentine's Day, 2021. It's a beautiful day. It's overcast. It's Vermont, so it's overcast. It was 12 degrees when we got here. Supposed to warm right up to about 24 today. Yeah, heat wave. Supposed to get about an inch of snow overnight to add to what we've got. We came past a whole bunch of trucks out on the ice as people are out ice fishing, which means there's a good bit of ice out there under all that snow. I see that we've seen a lot of snowmobiles this year. So it's definitely winter in the North Country. See a lot of out-of-state plates where people are coming and just jump off perfectly good mountains with sticks on their feet. So, a lot of things going on. So, Wednesday night, I was getting ready to change the sign. Jerry says, "You going to change the sign?" I said, "Yep, as soon as I figure out what I'm preaching on Sunday." He says, "Well, it's Valentine's Day." Okay. So, I thought about that for a minute. And I started thinking, what is love? The day that we celebrate love, actually, theoretically, the day we celebrate love. It's also a day people will say, it's the anniversary of my divorce or breakups. Wakulla County, Florida, which is the county that one brother and sister-in-law and my aunt and several of my cousins live in, and has a Valentine's Day special. If your ex has outstanding warrants, give us a call. We'll pick them up for the weekend. You know, a nice set of bracelets, you know, accommodations for the weekend, you know, meals on the county. So, some of that fun stuff that's out there. I said, you know, I shared that. I said, it looks like everybody's got a Valentine's Day special. But I want to talk about love, and it's there's so many things that come to mind when you talk about love. Anybody's ever been to Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love? It's a wonderful place. I'll never forget my first time in the city of brotherly love. I was in Philadelphia. I was flying back from Connecticut to Virginia, and the plane was overbooked. And we got paid, me and this other guy got paid to get off the plane. And we got a ride to the bus station, get bus tickets, we got our tickets refunded, and we got paid to leave. So we go to the bus station in the city of brotherly love. And the first thing I see as I go into the bus station is you got two sets of double doors. And between the two sets of double doors are a couple of young kids, I'm guessing 10 years old, that are pitching pennies. And one pulled a knife on the other one for cheating as we walk through. I'm like, the city of brotherly love, here it is, folks. There's a lot of things that are done in the name of love that have absolutely nothing to do with love. So I want to talk about what is love. John 3:16 and 17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." God loved us so much, he made a way of escape. God loved us so much, he sent payment for our sin. God loved him so much, God loved us so much that he sacrificed on our behalf. Jesus came to do the will of the Father. Jesus came to be a perfect example, but also to be our perfect sacrifice, paying the price for our sin, but gave us an example of how to live. So often these days, we will compare ourselves to other people, and it's like, well, compared to so-and-so, I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, but compared to Jesus, how are you doing? Compared to Bill down the street, I'm a nice guy. Compared to Jesus, I'm a wretched sinner in need of grace. Compared with this person, I may be all right. Compared with some people, I'm tall. Compared to my brothers, I'm tall. Compared to just about everybody else, I'm not, but I'm taller than both my brothers. Not by much, but a little bit. Compared to my dad, I'm short. So when we do a comparison with other people, we don't have a valid scale to go by. Because we also don't know what's going on in their heart. Like, I may say that I'm a nicer person than Tom down the street, but that's only because of what I see. But God, who sees everything, tells us not to look on the outward appearance. Because God looks on the heart. So God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son to make the way of escape, to make the way of salvation. Jesus, as he was walking on this earth, was our example. And in John 15, verse 17, Jesus said, "These things I command you, that you love one another." That's a commandment from God. In fact, when they asked Jesus what was the greatest commandment, he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like the first, love your neighbor as yourself." And on these two rest all of the law and the prophets. The example of the whole Old Testament was to tell us how to live. Give us examples of who didn't do what God said and who did. But you go through there and there's a lot of that. But the whole law was to love your neighbor as yourself. You look at the whole book of Leviticus, which is laying out all the laws, 670-some laws. I lose count. Or I have a short memory. Or I forget things. But there's a bunch of laws in there. A whole bunch of laws dealing with all kinds of stuff. But the whole law is wrapped up with love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. For if we do those two things, then we're not going to get into the, well, okay, so don't steal. Well, you're not going to steal from somebody that you love like yourself. Don't bear false witness. You're not going to lie about somebody that you love like you love yourself. It's just all wrapped up in there. You're not going to lie because God said don't lie and you want to be obedient to God. Just loving the Lord. So Jesus had said in John 15:17, yes, I am recording. Remember I said I have a short memory and I forget things? I forgot that I'd started it. And I had to double check, make sure I'd actually started the recording. Jesus commands us that we love one another. In 1 John 3, so you got the Gospel of John, and many years later, you got John writing to the churches. In 1 John 3, beginning with verse 1, it says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." John, talking to the churches years later, after Jesus has been crucified and risen again, after Jesus has gone up to heaven, after the church has been dispersed, the apostles and the Christians have been persecuted, all of these things going on, and John is sharing this. So, I want to tie John 3 with 1 John 3. I want you to think about this for a minute. In John 3:16, and we don't have to flip back there, we know what it says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." That was the purpose that Jesus came to the world. It says that in John 3. And in 1 John 3, it tells us that we should be called the children of God. And it tells us in verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is." God sent Jesus into the world to become the propitiation for sin, to become the sacrifice, to become the example. And if we are called to be like Jesus, we are called to be examples of the love of God. And if we recognize that God is working in us to show his love to the people around us, then we begin to humble ourselves. We begin to seek His face and pray that God would work through us, clear out whatever impurities, imperfections, whatever dross is the term from purifying gold and silver, but whatever impurities are in us, that He might be clearly seen in us. That's why it says in verse 3, and everyone who has this verse in him purifies himself just as he is pure. What is the love of God? What is the love that we are called to love one another? The love we're called to love one another is to show God's love to the people around us. To become transparent windows so that when people see us, they see God. When people see us, they see Jesus walking on earth. When people see us, they see kindness, they see love, they see mercy, they see grace. Still in 1 John, go to chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. I don't know about you, that's one of those convicting scriptures. That really gets into my heart, especially when I catch myself not loving somebody, when I catch myself not being kind, when I catch myself not being merciful, when I catch myself getting angry without a cause. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And in this is the love of God was manifested to us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That not just payment, that atonement, that wiping away of, not just covering it over, but getting rid of it, gone. Our sins are gone because of what He has done. Not just smothered, not just hidden, not just put on a storage shelf to pull out later. Gone is what Jesus has done for us. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. What has God done in your life? What has God done in my life? The same love that God has poured into us, we are called to show one another. The grace and the mercy, the forgiveness, the kindness. We'll get later into 1 Corinthians, that bears all things and believes all things. What God has done in us, that is the love we are to show to the people around us. What is love? Love isn't just saying, hey, hope you're doing well, have a good day. Love is actually caring about people, actually trying to reach them, actually trying to make a way and an opportunity and to have the chance to show grace. If God so loved us, verse 11, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. Now, I'm a semantics guy. You know this. So, if we love one another, God's love is perfected in us. God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. If we love one another. Also did a little computer programming. You have the if-then statements. If this happens, this happens. If this doesn't happen, well, the desired result doesn't show up. If we don't love one another, there's no evidence of God abiding in us. If we don't love one another, His love is not perfected in us. Beloved, let us love one another. Started in verse 7. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Are we working to love one another? Are we working to lay down our lives and to reach out to people just as Jesus did? Because we are called to be His examples on this earth. Or do we hold grudges? Guilty. Try not to be. I try real hard not to be. I repent of it, but still comes up. Romans 12, beginning with verse 9, says, let love be without hypocrisy. Stop right there. There's a sermon right there. Let love be without hypocrisy. Don't fake it. Don't say you love people and really, really, really wish they'd just go away. I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about y'all. Abhor what is evil. We're good at that. We can hate evil in other people. But sometimes we don't look at the evil in our own heart. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another in brotherly love. Not like those people in Philadelphia, kids in Philadelphia that pulled the knife on each other. Phileo, brotherly love. Be kindly affectionate to one another. Think about the needs of others. Think about the opportunities to reach out to others. What are we doing? In honor, giving preference to one another. Do we lift up other people? Do we encourage other people? Or do we look out for ourselves? I say often that heaven is not our goal. Heaven is our destination. God's going to take care of me because He's promised to. But He's also called me to take care of other people. If my goal, instead of heaven, which is my destination, not my goal, is to reach out and show the love of God to other people, then I can make an impact in the people around me. But if I'm only worried about myself, first off, I'm being disobedient to Scripture. I'm not loving others, therefore the love of, there's no evidence of God abiding in me and the love of God not perfected in me if I don't care about other people. But in honor, giving preference to one another, worry about the estate, worry about what's going on with other people. How can I help? What can I do? How can I encourage you? How can I lift you up? How can I pray for you? What can I do to reach out? What do you need? I don't know. But is my heart willing to reach out and show that love? Verse 11. Romans 12, verse 11. Not lagging in diligence. Meaning, don't procrastinate doing the important things you know you're supposed to do. Not lagging in diligence. Be diligent. Now, not later. Being fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You realize that? As we help other people, we're actually serving God. Scripture says, he who gives to the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord himself will repay. We're serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Do you have people that get on your nerves? Are we patient with them? Not so much. But do we desire to? Continuing steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, and given to hospitality. That's doing what we can to make a difference. Some things are obvious. Some things are not. Some things are so obvious we miss them. You know, I mean, that's why there's this guy called Captain Obvious who says things like, oh, yeah, okay. They once told me I had a remarkable grasp of the obvious. I did not realize it was a strange thing or a rare thing. There's some things that we think are obvious or not obvious to other people. There's some things other people think are obvious or not obvious to me. Because we all have different perspectives. We all have different understanding. We're all coming from different places. And God is working in each and every one of us individually. But we're all important to one another because we help build one another up. We help build up the body of Christ. We help to meet needs that somebody else may not even see. So what God has given you to do, what God has given me to do, is to reach out with the giftings and callings that He's placed in our life. With the perspective and understanding that we have. Perception. The things that we'll see that maybe somebody else doesn't see. The needs that are presented before us because of the way God has made us might not be evident to somebody else that God has made a little different. That God has gifted a little different. That it has a different path that God has walked them through. That's why we're all so important to one another. And not just a few of us in this room or the few of us listening online, but each and every person. God loved them so much He sent Jesus. God was willing to send Jesus for that person that gets on your nerves. Am I willing? Are you willing to reach out to the person that God loves so much He sent Jesus? Or do we get wrapped up in our own perceptions? Do we get wrapped up in our own feelings? My feelings got hurt, or I got offended, or they really should know better than that, or whatever the case may be, that we refuse to reach out to other people. We refuse to extend the love that God has extended to us. Remember, we are bought with a price. Jesus died on a cross to pay the price to redeem our lives from destruction. We were dead in trespasses and sins. And then Jesus came. You say, well, Jesus came a couple thousand years ago. Yep, but until He came into your heart, until He came into my heart, it really doesn't, you know, the fact that He did it a couple of thousand years ago didn't have any personal benefit, didn't have any personal impact until I was able to surrender my life. Didn't have any personal impact. So the people around us who also have not yet felt the benefit of that personal impact of knowing Jesus are being blocked if we get in the way and allow our selfishness and allow our pride and allow our hurt and allow our disobedience to God to get in the way of reaching out. We are called to love one another. And that's an evidence of God's work in us. We talked before about God holding us up as trophies of our grace. And here's one I had to throw back. You ever see a bass fisherman? Especially in tournament time. Oh, this is a good one. Oh, this one here is not up to standards. I'm not saying God's throwing us back. What I'm saying is sometimes we need to work. God needs to work some more in us. In Jeremiah, and we're not going there, where God takes him down to the potter's house, and the potter worked the work on the wheel, and the wheel and the work got marred in his hand, and he had to start over. Sometimes it feels like that in our lives. God's working in our life, and then we'll go and mess things up so bad. But God doesn't just, I mean, He might even put us on a shelf for a little while. But He doesn't give up on us. He may just have to start some of that work over again. He may just have to do some more. Because the goal is to make a vessel fit for the Master's use. And God continues to do that in His great love toward us. That love that is patient and long-suffering. Long-suffering. Puts up with quite a bit. God has put up with quite a bit from me. I'm sure He has in you too. God has put up with quite a bit from us. And yep, sometimes we get spanked. Sometimes we get battled. Sometimes we get the discipline of the Lord. And sometimes it feels like He put us on the shelf. And sometimes He just quickens in our heart that you missed an opportunity. You blew it there. You could have done that different. But God still has a plan and purpose. Back to 1 John 4, verse 20. It says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this is the commandment that we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Guilty. We continue to seek the face of God. We continue to reach out. We continue to cry out for God's love to be manifested in us. And then that person gets in front of you on the road. And I don't mind a person that's consistently, you know, at the speed limit or even a little below the speed limit. But the one that 2/3 of the posted speed limit, or the one that speeds up and slows down, speeds up and slows down, speeds up and slows down. I got a problem. I I try real hard, and actually I'm getting used to not speaking disparagingly about them as I pass them. But there's still an area, and that's not the only area. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, and he's like, "Well, I don't hate anybody." But do you know the word that's translated as hate means to love less, to care for less? And we're not called to care for people less than we care for ourselves. We're called to care for people the same way we care for ourselves. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The same way, in the same measure that you love yourself, we're called to love one another. To value them at least as much as you value yourself. But Scripture said, we read it a couple minutes ago, we're told to value others, esteem others higher than ourselves. Not just care for them as much as I love myself, I should care for them more than I care for myself. Because God's taking care of me. Right? God is taking care of me. I'm not taking care of myself. Therefore, my job, my expectation, my calling is to reach out and see how I can help someone else. To show the love of God to the people around us. We just read in 1 John 4:20, if someone says, "I love God," but hates his brother, he is a liar. He who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? What is love? How are we showing the love of God to the people around us? 1 John 5, verse 1 says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ born of God, or is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten by him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. By keeping those commandments, we show the love of God to the people around us. Are we really loving our neighbor as ourselves? Jesus said, this is the commandment I give to you. We read it a couple minutes ago in John 15. That you love one another. We're called to do that. So it says here in 1 John 5, verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. In loving God, in loving the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, in the keeping of his commandments, not to kill, not to steal, not to bear false witness, not to commit adultery, not to do all of these other things, but love one another as God has loved us, to love our neighbor as ourselves, demonstrates the love of God to the people around us. Back to John 15. Beginning with verse 11 says, these things have I spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. How many times do we not even lay down our convenience for somebody else? How many times do we not even lay down our plans for somebody else? Jesus laid down his life on our behalf. And he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Being willing to lay down himself for other people. Are we willing to lay down our plans? Are we willing to lay down our goals and dreams? Are we willing to say, God, whatever you want me to do, Lord, open the door, open the way to be a blessing to somebody else. Open the way to show your love to somebody else. ask, Father, for your wisdom and guidance that you would teach me to do the things that you've called me to do. You've put me here at this time, in this place for a reason. If God was done with you, there's no reason you're still sucking air. But he's not done with you. He is still at work. He's still at work in us to make us more like Jesus. He's still at work in us to make us the ambassadors he's called us to be, to make us the witnesses in this generation, to be the salt and light that he's called us to be, to reach out and to show his love and grace and mercy to the people around us. We still have that calling. We still have that purpose. He still has that plan for our lives. He still has that destiny built into us. And that's what he's called us to do. And finally, 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to do verse 4 through the very first sentence in verse 8. Short sentence. It says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Period. We are called to love one another. Here's the description of what that looks like. Love suffers long and is kind. Love is patient and is kind in the midst of being patient. Love reaches out and puts up with the person that gets on our nerves, and we're kind while doing it. Prayerfully, they don't get on our nerves, but we know they're going to, because we have to learn patience. Tribulation works patience, patience experience, experience hope, and hope makes us not ashamed. There's a process there. If our faith is never tested, if our patience is never tested, how can it grow? If a muscle is never exercised, how can it grow? So we're called to be like that. The fruit of the Spirit starts with love. You go into the fruit of the Spirit, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, kindness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit starts with love. The very first fruit of the Spirit is love. 1 Corinthians says love is patient and is kind and is not envious and is not boastful and is not proud and does not behave rudely and does not seek its own benefit but the benefit of others, is not provoked. The very first fruit of the Spirit. Now, can you get provoked? I don't know if you can. I can. Which means I need more of the love of God in me. How do we get more and more and more of the love of God in us? By keeping His Word, by keeping His commandments, by seeking His face, by pouring out ourselves, by saying, Lord, continue, Lord, to mold me. Like that clump of clay on the potter's wheel. Lord, mold me. Make me fit for the Master's use, that I might show your love to those who desperately need it, to a lost and dying generation. Still in verse 5, thinks no evil. Says in 1 Corinthians, to receive the brother who is weak in faith, but not with doubtful disputations. That's how it says it in the King James Version. The person who's a new Christian who just doesn't know any better. We are to receive them and not expect them to mess up. Not, yeah, he'll be okay in a couple of years, but for the first little bit, he's going to be wavering. That may very well be true, but why in the world do we want to say it? Why do we want to speak these things into existence? Why don't we instead lift up the weaker vessel? Lift up the weaker brother, the weaker sister. Encourage them. Lift them up. God is able to make you to stand. It says in Proverbs that though a righteous man falls 7 times, he will not be utterly cast down. God is the one who's going to lift him up. Praise God, brother. Praise God, sister. God is going to do great things in you and through you. Yeah, but I messed up. Praise God, so am I. But let me tell you, God hasn't given up on you, and I'm not going to give up on you either. And mean it. It's one thing to say, I'm not going to give up on you. But do your words ring true because they've been tested and found to be true? It's a hard thing. But we are called to show love. Verse 6, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. You ever had somebody just pouring out their heart, and among that pouring out their heart, they admit their failures? We're not rejoicing in the iniquity, but praise God, brother, that's how you get free. That's to share. That you don't allow these things to be a bondage in your life. Verse 7, bears all things. Do we get offended? Sometimes. Do we have a right to be offended? Jonah, sitting on top of the hill, overlooking Nineveh, expecting God to strike it down, and they repented. And then God, while he's sitting there waiting, God sends a gourd and causes a gourd to grow up and give him shade. And then the next day, God sent a worm to eat the gourd, chew up the stalk so that it withered and died. And God says, are you right to be offended? Yes, I'm right. Jonah telling God he was right to be offended. He said, I came here to tell them you were going to destroy them. They needed to be destroyed. You didn't destroy them. I'm right to be offended. God said, you got upset about this plant that you had nothing to do with. You didn't cause it to grow. You didn't water it. I took care of it, and then I took it out. And then why should I not show grace to the city? Where are there? I don't remember the numbers, but there are thousands of people that can't even tell their right hand from their left. Thousands of people that just don't know any better. Are you right to be offended? We've read in Romans, and we've read in our Bible study talking about people being given over to a strong delusion and their foolish hearts darkened. People that just don't understand. We've read in the scripture that says that the things of God are spiritually discerned, and those who are not spiritually alive, they're foolish. It's foolishness to them. These people just don't know. They can't understand until God renews their mind. So how can we get offended at somebody that can't know the difference until God touches their heart? Doesn't mean we don't do it. Does mean we're not allowed to do it. Bears all things, verse 7. Believes all things. If you think through the list of people you know or know of, tell the truth. Is there somebody that you know of that you think even God can't turn? You're wrong, by the way. We get that in our mind, though, because we're looking at things from a fleshly standpoint, from our own pride. Believes all things. There is nothing my God can't do. There is no heart, no life my God can't change. But sometimes I find that I'm like Jonah. I really, really, really want God to take care of him the other way. Because of the wickedness of my own heart, of not loving people the way God calls me to love. Amen. Couple of hands up. We get guilty of that. Of failing in love. Scripture, remember what we said. Where we go? Back in 1 John 4, verse 20, which we're not going back there, but it says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. And he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? When we don't show love to the people around us, when we don't love people out of a pure heart, when we don't love people on this basis and on this guidelines of what we were told love is, remember love being the first of the fruit of the Spirit, we're a liar. But praise God. Because John, 1 John also tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is still a propitiation for my sin. Not just the sin of yesterday or the sin of this morning, but the sin of right now and the sin of the next 5 minutes and the sin of the rest of the day. There is a propitiation for my sin. Jesus has made that way. God sent Jesus. God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. He has made the way. And I need to focus on sharing that way with the other people. Back to verse 7. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And then the very first sentence in verse 8. Love never fails. The verse goes on, but we put a period right there for this message. Love never fails. What is love? Love is perfect. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is generous. Love is encouraging. Love is expecting God to do wonderful things in people's lives. Love is hanging on to the hope that even though I might not see the results right now, God is still at work and I trust Him because I know what He's done in my life, and I know if He's done it in my life, He can do it in somebody else's life. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I pray for people with that in mind, knowing that God can draw their heart. I may not see any fruit in their lives, but I know the God who sees the end from the beginning and who has a plan and purpose. And if He's put them on my heart, He's put them on my heart for a reason. I'll lift them up. I'll pray for them. I'll expect God to do wondrous things because I believe all things. I hope all things. And if they get on my nerves, I need to learn to endure all things and want only the best for other people. Because that's what we're called to do, is show a love that never fails. Praise God. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your word. On this day, Father, that as a nation or maybe as a world, whatever, we celebrate Valentine's Day, generally designed for or as a good way to sell candy and flowers, stock the restaurants. But also, Lord, to bring a time of for people to think about love from a natural standpoint. But Lord, you've called us to love with a heavenly love, love with a perfect love, love with a love that never fails. So Father, as we go through the rest of this day, as we go through this week ahead of us, Father, we thank you, Lord, for opportunities, Lord, just to show your love to the people around us. And Lord, for those times where we find ourselves failing, those times we find ourselves losing hope, losing an expectation, or expecting things to go badly in somebody else's life, those times we allow people to get on our nerves, Father, we repent and ask, Lord, that you would continue to guide us, Father, continue to work us on your wheel as the potter working the clay, getting out the impurities, as the refiner getting out the impurities out of the ore, the precious metals. As the fuller, cleaning the wool, getting out the impurities. Father, that you continue to make us perfect, that we might be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect, that we might be examples of your love and examples of your grace, that we might be the personification of your love in this world, to show that love to the people who so desperately need it. And we thank you for it, Father. We give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.